You and your loved ones can be Disney characters. At sockandkey.com, you can submit your family's photos and their artists will hand-draw each person from scratch to look like characters from your favorite movies and shows. Select from the Disney classics, the world of Marvel, the Star Wars galaxy, and many more at sockandkey.com. This also makes a great unique Christmas gift for the Disney and movie fans in your life. You'll go down in family history as the best gift giver of all time. Hurry and order quick, as sockandkey.com gets very busy during the holidays and raises prices to keep up with demand the closer it gets to Christmas. Use code DISNEYNERDS for 20% off your order. That's sockandkey.com, sockandkey.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 415 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed. What we're going to do this week is a simulcast from our live show. We all got together, we being Sam, Jimmy, myself, Melissa, and we talked about our trip down to Walt Disney World, our incredible meetup weekend, and a lot of the things that we did. I figured it was such a great live show that I would just use the audio from that for our podcast this week. We did have a super fun time recording Tuesday, and just so you remember that we are talking to people online too, so you might hear a couple other names pop up as we continue on with the conversation. As always, definitely let us know what you think of the show. Give us some suggestions on what you want to hear. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with the show?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
So without further ado, the Disney Nerds co-hosts. Take it away, everyone.
And I think now you have a green room full of people and we're going to record a Disney Nerds podcast, aren't we?
You know, and I think Ed knew most of the details about the House of Mouse Expo, but I think just a few minutes ago when Scott had mentioned about, you know, the adventure people from Adventurers Club and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I think Ed was like, oh, crap, man.
That's kind of cool, yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm too late now, almost.
Nice. Ed, Melissa, what's up, guys?
How's it going? Hey.
Miss you all. It's been, a week since we've all been here?
If that, yeah.
Seems like.
It was a fantastic. So what we're going to do tonight, the rest of the night, guys, is just talk about our meetup weekend and everything that went on with that. And if I can do this correctly, I sent some pictures in Facebook Messenger that I can share.
Cool.
Adi.
Adi, what's up, man? Missed you.
Hey, Adi.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. You and your wife were definitely missing from this trip. That was definitely something missing on this.
That's exactly right. I still got ice cream anyway, dude, but I thought of you when I did. In fact, I got two and I just ate them both.
Hey, Kim.
That is, you know, that's so true, though, that a lot of people asked about Adi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Adi? Of course.
Yeah.
Next meetup.
Hopefully. Hopefully we can get Adi down next year. Now I've lost the pictures.
Shame on me. I was staying at the Horn side of the Pop Century Hotel on this trip down there.
The what side?
the horn side. I had Jimmy's parents side? On the one side. I had
it was the horn wing. Side. It was the honorary horn wing.
It was. very, very fun trip.
Shame on me for eating them both. You would have done the same thing, buddy. Come on.
Kim says hello.
Hi.
So, Ed, anything? What stand out to you about the meets? And I will say, look, so this is the second year we've done the paid meetup. But the first year, none of you
the
guys.
First year that, well, the first year was COVID, that first year was so screwed up.
I know. It was. You guys weren't able to go. But it still ended up being pretty cool, cool enough that I wanted to do it again. So what were you guys' impressions about that meetup at Splitsville?
I love the view. The place where you had us, where they had the meetup, was behind a bar, but against the window that borders the walkway out in front of Splitsville.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you're at the window, and because the angles on Splitsville, you can look through one window and see all the way down to the rainforest. And you can then see the crowd in front of you. And then you look the other way and you can see all the way down to the theater,
Cirque du Soleil theater, which hadn't opened yet, but the gift shop was open. So I went in and took about a bunch of pictures. Since then, Drawn to Life has started, but that's cool.
It reminded me of the MTV that show they used to have on Times Square up in the studio with the glass wall there, looking down at everybody. It was perfect.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it to that one. We did not fly in until early Friday morning. So next year, maybe we'll finally be able to attend.
Right.
We're gonna figure that out better for you. At least if you could, because y'all flew in that night, but just late, right?
Oh no, it was a rough Friday. We were up by 1:30 a.m. Friday morning.
That's right.
Yep, and we landed about 9 a.m. Took a lift to our resort, dropped our bags, and we were in the parks by, I don't know, 10:30. We made good time, but we were definitely very exhausted by the end of the day because we had the sample-thon Friday night.
Which was awesome.
Yep.
Lots of great prizes.
Oh, that was
fun things to eat and drink.
Huge shout out to April and Bobby with Pixie Purchases with April, who's the personal shopper that we use for the Disney Nerds podcast. They've been friends of ours for years. And every year for the scavenger hunt and for the trivia prizes, they donate a bunch of stuff to us, tons of stuff, really good stuff, really good, like Disney stuff, that we give away as prizes for the scavenger hunt.
Sure. And for plush, pins, action figures, travel things like bags and tags and
socks were the popular one this time.
Lanyards. We gave a lot of lanyards out during trivia sample-thon, and some current ones too, some really nice Marvel and Frozen and things like that. A lot of pins, a lot of Baby Yoda, a lot of Grogu pins,
a lot of Grogu. I did notice that was cool.
Yeah,
I really loved the lanyards because I thought about bringing a lanyard, right? This was my first trip to Disney since COVID precautions. But I didn't know how much I'd love having a lanyard because I could clip my mask to my lanyard. And then when you're going in and out of the buildings, whether it was to grab a drink or use the bathroom, I just threw it on and then I didn't have to fish it through my pocket. So I love the lanyards and highly recommend anyone bringing one to the park with you.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time fishing in my pockets for a mask.
I have the pocket set this trip. It's like the left bottom pocket is the mask pocket. Top right is the money only. The top left is like keys, that type of stuff.
I never have pockets, so I had to have something, you know.
Yeah.
You need to shout out to Michelle Atwood and Lost Princess Apparel. All of their little dresses and stuff have pockets, and that's one of the things everybody raves about is those little dresses have pockets. And apparently, that's a thing for a lot of women, as a lot of the clothes, like especially when you're wearing leggings and stuff, most of them don't have pockets.
Yep, very true.
I agree with you, Ed. You never want to put your money in the pocket with anything else, because then when you pull your phone out, your money falls on the floor. You pull your mask out.
Lessons learned for the mask. And there's a dollar. Is that a dollar bill or is that the mask? I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, lessons learned. But that's how it is. You just definitely learn from your experiences and you move on and hopefully never make that mistake again.
And I also think if you carry around a Batuu and Spiro, those are pretty hefty and sit at the bottom of your pocket.
I do not have one.
I don't have mine readily available as these do not. But I do have one, and they're pretty.
I never made it back to studios to grab one. I was going to, but just didn't make it over there.
Jimmy's YouTube. Yeah, his YouTube video was super helpful. I saw it, and my husband had to have it. I was a little surprised, but that was a thing he wanted. And so I was like, okay, well, we go back in December. I mean, we're going to use the money, right? And I watched your YouTube video, Jimmy. It gave me perfect directions which store to go to. The cast member was secretive about it. He's like, I might have it, you know. And it gave us a big basket to choose from. They're all the same, but... yep. So we have it, and I mean, you know, your video told me what it was, but it, like Ed showed you, it is hefty. I mean, it's a solid piece of metal.
Yeah.
So,
and for those that don't know, give it a quick explanation. What is that?
So this is basically a gift card. I'm not going to show you the back of it because I don't want anybody to get my number, but on the back has the code and a barcode that any cast member or any outlet that sells Disney stuff can scan it just like any other Disney gift card. The catch with this guy is that it costs $5 to own it, and you need to put $100 on it when you initially get it, I guess, to start your bank account in Batu.
And then it's $15 after that as a minimum transfer, and you can do it online.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you can add in increments of 15.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So, well, 15 and up, you could do 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or 100 or 200. You can do it.
Well, you know, look, if you go there first and get this thing, the whole thing's going to be gone at the Droid Depot or at Olga's. So it doesn't.
And this is the second generation. The first one was a gold version. Oh. And now this is a silver version. So you do have to try to get these things because they do run out.
Yeah,
I consider it the spork type of thing where you never know when it's going to be there. And then once it's there, you've got to get it before it disappears again.
So just an interesting thing for everybody watching that, you know, all the Disney gift cards, if you have one that you like last year, Disney sent us one because they were doing a big promotion.
That's right.
Disney gift cards. And they sent one. I ordered the one with Grogu on it. So any of those, you can go to the Disney gift card website and you use your Disney login, and you can load all your cards in there and combine them all to one.
More importantly, you can check how much is left on one when you get back and you got eight of them in your pocket.
So if you have the Spira, you leave that one in there, and then when you get back and you pull out all the other ones, you load them up on there and you just transfer the balances to one card.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know what? It did fit my wallet in the little pocket in my wallet, so it definitely did that. So it wasn't that bad. I wouldn't want to carry it around in my pocket all the time. I'd be afraid of it coming out or a hole or something like
that. That's my only concern. It's
heavy. It's like a half a pound. I mean, it's really substantial, but it's awesome. And Jimmy, what was the best part about using this with cast members outside of Hollywood Studios?
Most of them had never, and I either had, they'd never seen it before and didn't know what it was, or they had heard of it, but never seen one. Mm-hmm. Cool. So they were all real excited to the first one, Hilliard, because when I bought mine, Hilliard was with me when I bought, and he got one too. And we were in Epcot and we were going to the little quick service in Mexico just to get a beer. And he was using his, and the guy didn't even want to scan it. He thought it was going to hack his computer or something. Ah. He's like, no, it's a gift card. And then he had to yell down the line to the other cashier, hey, so-and-so, look at this. Check this out.
That's pretty cool.
So it was really cool because they're not that – I found out about it because of Veronica showed it to me when I was down there for the 50th. And I was like, man, that's really cool. And I didn't go back to studios on that trip. So that was one of the things on my list to get as soon as I got down there. And I told Ed about it, and I was like, yeah, I really want one too. So when I went there, I got one
for me. Yeah, they look cool.
Yep. And you only need the one because it's reloadable. So that's the best part about it. Once you have it, you have it. Now, one other thing is they came in an envelope. Melissa just showed us that has Arabic writing on it. And we did a translation of that. And it says something along the general lines of, hey, this is the best bang. Hey, welcome to the best of the band, or welcome to the best band. So we would have thought with money involved, it would have been something with a bank. And I definitely double checked it, and it was kind of a band that I think just as a Spira or one or something like that. But yeah,
very cool,
very interesting. At least it says something.
One of the other things we got on Friday, and if anyone else got something else, it was Disney Plus Day on Friday. So we got the button, and I saw a couple people got hats.
They're
grabbing their hats right now.
Yep.
I didn't get a hat.
You had to be
a rope dropper to get a hat.
You got to be a rope dropper. Yeah, I was going to say, Ed, the rope dropping thing come back again.
I don't wake up early enough to get hats.
It's not the best quality, but it's definitely it was a surprise. I knew it was Disney Plus Day, but we were going to Epcot that morning. So getting off the Skyliner, coming up the hill, they had the boxes and a crowd gathered there, and they were giving out the buttons and that. Now, that wasn't the only hat we got that weekend, though. We also got some brand new Disney Nerds hats.
I like that.
So they were pretty cool.
You know, I didn't even get one.
Know, right? Doesn't that work out that way, Weird?
I gave them all away at the paid event, and I didn't even get one.
I'll save that one for you. Don't worry.
No, I'm going to order some more.
I know, but order different colors because I'm not sure I like that color anyway. So you'll definitely get one of the original ones.
I'll get you a white one. So one of the other things we did, me and Ed and Ed's friend Chris and Kim got to do while we were there. Let me see. Is we got to go to space.
Really cool.
So this
space
is
220.
Yeah, we got to go to space 220 and eat lunch. So this is the video when we walked in.
Right. We both did a video, one of looking down, one of looking up on the way back down again. So I'm going to hopefully put side by side and throw that on our YouTube channel for everyone to see.
So keep lookout for that. But this was pretty cool. You're in like a space elevator.
It's the space elevator versus the old hydrolator. There it is. That's the view.
I love how there's clouds where the construction is, and you can't quite see what's going on.
Oh, that's good, Sam. I didn't even notice that. You're right.
There's clouds right over top of the construction. Yep.
The other cool thing was, and I noticed on the way down, not the way up, but on the way down, because Ed had me filming down and he was filming up. So on the way down, I just was looking down the whole time, and you could see the vehicles on test track.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like it was that detailed.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. Once you get close enough, it's going to be a live shot almost.
Well, it looked like they were animated. And I don't think, and if they were moving, they were moving slow. But they thought
it's
enough
still
through.
Cool.
They thought enough through it to put that on there.
So now this room was right as you entered in. You went right past the receptionist, around another corner, inside, and walked across. And I think they had two elevators that went up and down. And they waited till they had enough people to put into the one. And you can see there's just not us in there. There's a bunch of people. And it was a really great experience. I think that made the whole Space 220 thing worth it, really. Just the experience.
It definitely adds to the experience. It's really
cool. Right.
Yeah, it would completely ruin it if you just walked through a door and you were in space, right?
Right.
How'd I get here?
Or they actually borrowed the things from Mission Space next door and they shot you up there.
So really make you primed and ready to eat.
Yeah, I know, right?
So what is that supposed to be? This room that's spinning with purple and green? Oh, they're plants.
Yeah, it is. Yep. It is
squash. I'm not squash. It's a cabbage. Yeah. Red cabbage, green cabbage. As if that's what we're going to eat in there. That's funny. Oh, hey.
I don't even know if they had cabbage, which is funny.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's cool. It looks good.
They will eventually. We're all the cameras in there.
It looks good. Is that going back down?
No, this is just the beginning of the video again. So. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
So this is walking into the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool. The views are outstanding. It's cool.
He's making sure we're still with him because we all have our cameras out and we're taking pictures of everything. He's like, y'all still coming with me here?
Go ahead, Ed.
I was going to say, imagine the coral reef because this is the exact kind of downward like restaurant where it's tiered. So you have the tables right in front of the windows.
I think the second tier is the best place to eat. By the way, a little bit away from the window,
and we were right on the rail
think that's your best spot.
And it's a very small feeling room, very very nice, like quaint, very not huge, not a big hall. The ceiling seemed low, and it did seem like you were in a spacecraft, or you're definitely taking up space. There's the the lightsaber battle. So now,
yeah, cool.
There were some very realistic things we saw out in space. There were some very unrealistic things we saw out in space, and I'm not sure how.
Okay.
I
really,
yes and no. I guess to keep the kids active, definitely. Three quarters of the way through the meal, though, I stopped watching. I found out that I had to actually make myself look again or remind myself that there's stuff to look at.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
How was the food? What did the both of you have?
I went tame. I had the chicken, and I had mashed potatoes and some vegetable with it. And I had the burrata, tomato appetizer, which is very not space-like, but it was still good.
Ed literally got the one thing that the waitress said, like, didn't say not to get, but was kind of like,
not to get it.
Asking her all about it. She goes, well, they get this, this, and this, and then there's the chicken, and you know, it's chicken. And Ed's like, that's for me. Well, I'm like, oh, my God, Ed.
Out of the five entrees, two were fish. One was braised ribs that didn't sound, the things that came with it weren't great. There was the steak.
I got the steak.
But it was a flank steak. So you never know how that's going to come out. And I figured I'd just go with, like, you know, the half chicken. That was great.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Moving on.
Kim wanted to go. Kim got the... Crap, I don't remember what you got.
She had the salmon.
The salmon.
Salmon's good. Under the glass with the smoke. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a good presentation.
I had...
Chris got the braised. Didn't Chris get the ribs?
Chris...
Or am I making that?
No, he got the salmon.
I remember. Yeah.
Him and Kim got the same thing, but
you got pictures. Anything you got?
I have pictures. I don't know if they're like available right this second, though.
We're looking at the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's the sunglasses. So I bought these right before we went, and so that's my Tony Stark Edith sunglasses. So it came with two pairs, so I gave one to Scott, and he loved them. So I lost a pair in the transaction because Scott took one. I'm like, yeah, you can take them. So this is for the paid event. I think everybody here knows Panda and Michelle and my wife Kim and me and Scott and Jack. This is Veronica's friend Jackie, who I met for the 50th, and her mom does embroidery, so she made the hats for us. Her mom did, so me and her took a picture just so she could send it to her mom.
Sorry,
it's kind of a group shot. And I apologize. I sent these last minute. I'm sure there's better. This one's kind of blurry, but I don't know what I just did. I'm sharing it from Facebook.
You are. Well, at least we're all.
You are. You're sharing all your Facebook. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, well.
I got the one thing I did run into this time there, Ed, were the 50th anniversary gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good that is or isn't coming out, but they're kind of cool with different Disney characters on the flip side.
Where did you find those, Sam?
They are in penny machines that look like penny machines that are all over the park. So I found one that has four of them. This was in Hollywood Studios. There were four different ones. They're all sea creatures. So it's Flounder and Nemo and Sebastian and Dory, this particular set. But these things line up and match the 50th anniversary statues, which means there's 50 of them. Yeah, correct.
How much can I afford 50 of them? How much are there?
That was a good question because four of them were $15. So, yeah, exactly.
Right.
I got the four before I realized there were 50. I thought that's kind of cool. But then I went back and looked at some pictures I had taken, and there was a machine that had R2-D2 and Mickey Mouse in it. And I don't remember where it was, but clearly I need to get back to that machine.
So we will find that list because I could see myself wanting some specific ones.
Yes.
And that would be cool. And
sure.
Found a plan for a holder for those like things. There's a three.
I was thinking the same thing. 50 of those is a heck of a lot of real estate. Mm-hmm. There we go. There's your meat.
Yeah. So
you can see the glass windows Ed was talking about.
Oh, right, right. Oh, it was great.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun. We had pizza. We had chicken fingers, and we had sushi. We had drinks.
Their sushi is really good, by the way. It's you know.
I'm not a sushi person, but I'll take your
word. It was really good.
I've heard that it's one of the best sushis in Orlando.
It's a bowling alley. Why? Why is that?
Nah, it's not.
It's not. It's,
More than likely has to do with how fast they can go through it. And so they're getting quick shipments coming into Disney Springs, high quality with some of the restaurants.
I want them to be making it right there like they are over at the Swan.
How far is Morimoto? Or isn't there a Japanese place nearby?
Not far at all.
And I've heard bad things about the sushi at Morimoto.
I've not had.
But I mean,
any Mai Tais consumed, Bill wants to know.
And I do not have a Mai Tai, Bill. That's a good one.
By me, no, but yes.
Do any of you remember the Mai Tai, the Splitsville Mai Tai story?
And was it Lisa that knocked it over or you?
Yes, Lisa.
Oh, the pitcher.
She knocked over a big Mai Tai. Like as soon as we started the live stream, she knocked it over on the table. Like the first together live stream we ever did, live from Splitsville. And by the way,
how many years ago was that?
4. Probably.
Right.
Yeah. I completely take offense to Ed just saying Splitsville is just it's just a bowling alley. Because I think Splitsville is much more. I mean, if I said it's a bowling alley, you wouldn't expect to walk into Splitsville and you'd be like, "Well, this is what he's talking about. This isn't just your typical."
I've been there half a dozen times. I don't think I've ever bowled, so I guess that's a good point.
But it's also a chain. Those things are all over the place. But
they have an outdoor bar that's really good downstairs.
Not anywhere around me. So that makes it not.
So there you go. Yeah. That's just like a rainforest for me. There's none around me. So
yeah, everybody's like, it's a chain. Well, it's not for me. It's not for me.
It's not. Yeah. I get it. It's fun.
Kim discovered a new drink. So not as many Mai Tais this year, I guess.
Kim discovered
none that were spilling. she had one of the Splitsville bartenders make her one the night before, and
I don't even remember what it was.
I can't remember.
Kim, what were you drinking? Tell us.
Come up with it.
Speaking of drinks, during the sample-thon, I had Neil Patrick Harris's Black Magic Margarita. I think that's what it's called.
Where is that?
It's at the outdoor margarita stand in Mexico.
Okay.
It's very smoky. I did not like it, and I don't think Kim liked it. I feel like she tried it either with me.
Was it one of the food and wine kiosks, or was it at the frozen one that's always there?
The frozen one that's always there.
Okay.
It's a deep purple color. It has blackberries or acai in it. I didn't mind it, but it is very, very smoky. So if you're looking for a smoky, kind of on the fruity side, but not overly sweet, that would be a drink for you. Kim says Black Magic is not her favorite. she didn't warn me before that. I bought it, but I didn't mind it.
I am remembering now Jimmy Kim running around with a recipe saying, I got it. Now I tied the whole story together now. I thought she had the sushi recipe. I didn't.
Oh, no. Saturday night we were leaving Magic Kingdom. Our original plan was to go over to Epcot, but Saturday night before you guys got there, the first Saturday night we were there, it got really chilly. So much so that
it's 26 outside right now, Jimmy. So
but chilly enough. You didn't want to didn't want to go walk around Epcot and drink.
I understand. I mean?
So we decided to go, and LSU was playing that night, and so we decided to go just sit at Splitsville for the evening. So we went upstairs, and the bartender looks over at us and says, looks at me and goes, "Yingling?" And I said, yes, it is a Yingling. So she remembered my drink from before. Actually, she was the bartender who helped us last year for the paid meetup. And she's helped me before downstairs, I think. And then Kim had one drink, I think, there, but then was asking her, she was asking Kim what she wanted. And she goes, "Well, what do you like?" And Kim gave her some ideas of what she likes. She goes, "I got something for you." And she went and made it. And Kim really liked it. So Kim's like, "Well, we're going to be here Thursday night. So we're going to be here Thursday night. Are you going to be working the event? Because I'll get you to make me these." And she said, "No, but if I'm down," she says, "Thursday night, I think I'm downstairs. And just tell whoever's up here to come see me, and I'll give them the recipe." And that's what they did.
Very nice. And it was a great day.
Yeah.
All around, it was a great time.
So the sample-thon was really fun. We had green as a color this year. You can see I've added my new flag.
I see the flags there, Ed. I love it. Yes.
And I tell you what, and when it got dark, seeing everybody with the green light sticks, being able to find everybody was really, really cool.
The light sticks didn't work out.
When I was in Norway looking out at the pathway, I could see everybody approaching in one big mob. And it was really fun to see that.
It is kind of fun.
I heard people commenting all night about how so it was easy to find everybody. Once we had split up to get drinks and stuff, each place we stopped.
Was awesome because we started in a place, then just moved ahead and stayed there for 20 minutes while people went and did whatever they wanted.
It was great because we kind of almost scouted out the next place. Mexico, yes. We were where the mariachis were, so it was nice. There were tables there. We got to Norway. We had that little raised area in front of Asker House. That was really cool. We got to China. I think we had the tables along the water there.
Yep. All great spots.
We had great places to stop, and people had a chance to go get something to drink or eat. The lines were pretty long, so it was about 15, 20 minutes to get the drinks for the next walk to the next area, basically.
We found out it was the last weekend of the Food and Wine Festival.
Right.
Although, let me pull these things together, because I know we talked about them in a podcast. You had your Disney Plus day. It was Disney Plus day. It was the Food and Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. It was Christmas. And it's the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World Celebration. That's four big things all happening at the same time. I had a personality disorder because I didn't know what I was doing there.
I think you stack on top of that, things really like loosening up with COVID and all that. Like people literally like itching to go somewhere. So I think for the locals there, that's the place you go, especially on the weekends. You go to
late on a Saturday night, jump in there, grab a couple of drinks.
There's a lot of blackout dates during the Christmas holidays. So yes, there are a lot of the local peoples with passes that's something they want to take advantage of before that happens.
There were also a number of recordings for the Christmas special that weekend. When we were at Magic Kingdom Saturday night, I believe, was it Kristen Chenoweth was there?
Got
singing.
It.
Oh, really? Where was she?
Well, Magic Kingdom. Yeah, Magic Kingdom had a number of people performing. I think there was.
We were at Magic Kingdom Saturday night, but I don't remember seeing that. So where were they? In front of the castle? And
They were like on the lawn, like out, like in the hub grass. But that was during the day. It was during the day. Okay. We weren't there.
Exactly. Because by the time we got there, we were. We were hitting the hub for the fireworks, and
no, it was earlier that day.
Yeah, well, we were during the scavenger hunt.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so now before we get away from it, too, the night shows were great. We got to see the night shows, the Magic Kingdom show and the Epcot show. They were fabulous. Definitely a good time, and we have to see.
Is that the first time you'd seen either of those?
Yeah,
in person.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, which one are you liking better, Enchantment or Harmonious?
I liked the Enchantment, actually. Harmonious, I'm having a hard time really embracing it. I have to see it maybe one or two more times to really get into it. A lot is going on mechanically as opposed to fireworks. Magic Kingdom was really good, and it was kind of the same thing over there. That was a good one. I have to watch a couple of times because I watched it in front of Casey's. So I got a little bit of Main Street being projections. And I wasn't ready for the beginning of the show. Right before it began, the Main Street had projections. It was either special lights or they were actually already projecting the Main Street facades going down Main Street like they do the castle before the show starts.
Right.
So I want to see that again to see if that was the case. But
I'm sure it is because that's kind of, it starts all at the same time and they just project the same image over top of it so that it's seamless.
And if it was really a projection or if it was like some type of light effect that made it look like a projection, because it really didn't look projected, but it did. So it was really unsure.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But so really good places. And we watched Harmonious from, was it Germany or France or where did we end
Japan.
Up?
Japan.
Oh, that's
Japan.
Right. We ended up going
which was a great
that.
Spot.
Yeah, that was pretty
it was a great spot.
That was a great suggestion, Sam, because you call it Stargate, you know, the big thing in the middle. And although I don't think you're missing any, like an important piece of the story by not seeing the middle of Stargate where they're doing this waterfall and then projecting the images onto the waterfall, it definitely enhances the story. And I think there's a lot of awe and wonder and how do they do that and having it subtlety. So if you can see through Stargate, I think that's the best location for you. But really anywhere around World Showcase is gonna be beautiful. Personally, I loved Harmonious. I do like it better than Illuminations. I'm sure that minority here.
Tough, I know, right?
She may get dropped out for that one.
I see the comment that Kim has. For me, Harmonious, I like it, but I think the lack of connection is because some of the songs are in different languages.
Yeah. So I think that's the best part to me.
You like that? All right.
I want to sing it. Phenomenal. I'm just having a hard time with the jerkiness, not the jerkiness, because it's wonderful mechanical things they have there. Like I said, I have to see it a couple more times to tie in everything moving around to create what the songs are representing.
I guess I have connection.
I might be digging into it a little too much.
Yeah, I have connection because I feel that the countries are represented that I just spent my day, and I spend majority of my Epcot day in World Showcase. So having those redo of those countries I've been to, and then hearing it both in their language and in English. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the connections to those movies from over the years, like, just all brings it together. So sure. I do enjoy it.
And do we reach out and say maybe they might be introducing some new lands with some of the songs? Because we did have a little Indian tinge when they did Jungle Bookish type of stuff.
Yeah.
I wondered that.
We went into it.
It was a very Bollywood scene.
Right. Yep.
It's pulling his old India blog back out of the archives a long, long time ago.
One more time.
It's definitely growing on me now that I've seen it three or four times. And you know, another thing that really kind of just, like, during the meet, talking about all the glow necklaces and stuff like that, you know, we're all watching Harmonious together, and I'm just kind of looking around, kind of chit-chatting while watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is where the love and the nostalgia and all that comes from. Is the next time I see it, I'm going to think about, you know, talking to Frank and talking to Melissa and all of us being together, watching it together. And that's where that real connection comes in. It's not necessarily with the fireworks and I enjoy it on its own right, but I think that's what really, you know, that was my strong tie to Illuminations. As much as I liked it, as many, like, all the different people that I've experienced Illuminations with, and I just have all those memories. And it's over a long period of time. So that's what really, really, really connects you, you know? So
you're exactly right, Jimmy. Agree.
Okay. So before we get done for tonight, we want to talk about the scavenger hunt, which we got up bright and early the next morning for. And it seems like no matter what you do with the scavenger hunt, it's always a journey to get there with all the prize packages we have.
So when we say that again, everything we do, Ed, it's really everything you do to get ready for that scavenger hunt and pull the whole thing together. And I'll thank you again for being the mastermind behind all of that. We all thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I love doing it. Like I said, I learned so much in doing it. And it's, you know, Jimmy and Kim helping me put all this, and Morgan helping putting those prize packages together, April getting those prizes to us and giving us the availability. We had some incredible prizes for places 1 through 5, which was great because it was bags filled of stuff, everything Disney related, and up into including wine glasses. And we mentioned a lot of the stuff earlier in the show tonight. So it was really fun. And the end spot was the biggest surprise of all, at least for me. We did the grading of the hunt once we were done with it in Morocco. Morocco was cleared out, and Jimmy was like, yeah, we got to go there because there was nobody there. Well, there were some people there, but it wasn't bad. And the what's the restaurant? Marrakesh?
Yep.
Not open. So the entire dining hall is open just for people to relax in there. The tables are all there, and that's it. So you can go in there and relax and hang out. The courtyard was really nice to hang out. The wine bar was open, so people can go hit that while we're grading.
Bingo.
Really, really nice, relaxed atmosphere at the end of the hunt. Usually it's a very rushed type of, we got to get out of here because there's so many people and getting in the way and stuff. Not this year. It was fun.
And I will say, what made me think of it was, of that as a spot, is when I first walked back there, there was nobody back there. Because the sangria bar was not open. So the inside that little courtyard, the covered part where the shop used to be, was empty. But then when we, of course, Murphy's Law, when we go back there with all our people, the sangria bar is open. So it's full of people back there, but it still worked out because in the back there still wasn't that many people.
And that was the only time of the day and probably the last couple of days that it rained. So having to go inside was perfect. So that worked out really well. And but when we're done, the rain had stopped as we moved on, I believe. So double perfect.
Yeah, yeah, it was a quick little drizzle, and that was it for the for the day.
So now the scavenger hunt went really well. We had at the top five teams, there was only a couple points between them for those top four or five spots. So to me, that meant everybody had a great time in that they got the clues down and they did a lot of it. I had 190 points worth of information, and I think the top score was a buck 70 something. And then it just kind of went down by that by small increments. So that went very well. I'm going to post all our scavenger hunts online. So if you guys want to take advantage of them and use them in the parks, they're good for a certain amount of time until they start changing stuff.
Everything changes, right, Ed? Everything changes.
But this one was a fun one. I definitely learned a lot of different stuff. I had to relearn and a couple of the things from it. I had to relearn that there's two Olafs in Norway. There's that snow guy, and there's also the actually King Olaf II, who's been there for the longest time. So that was a nice little clue.
King Olaf the Second. Wait a minute. Say that again.
King Olaf the Second is the wooden carved king that's in front of the Stav Church, by the passageway that gets you to the ride.
So Olaf has been in Epcot since Norway was added in 1988.
Yep. And you only realized it once the snowman showed up.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, there's a lot of good things in there. There's a beer in Africa called Elephant Foot Beer or Elephant Hoof Beer. It's made by a company in Tampa Bay. And their claim to fame with that beer is that it's actually named after an umbrella stand. So that's the old, you know, the elephant foot umbrella stands or taxidermied or hollowed out. It's a horrible thing. But at the ad, it says it's like, yeah, from elephant umbrella stands. And it's like, yeah, really. Just to kind of prove the point that it really is the name of it. But yeah, no, there was a lot of different things to find out. We were able to do a kind of play on masks because we've been stuck wearing masks for so long. Who would have known that there's masks in Italy and in Africa as far as being able to find them? I knew there was a crystal place in Mexico and there's a crystal place on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom. But in Epcot, there's actually two other crystal places. There is the one in Germany, and there was the one in Italy that do the same type of blown glass.
Italy? Oh, it's between Italy and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Does it belong to Italy?
It's Italy. Germany? It's okay. There's one in either place, I believe. And one is in Germany. It's the back left side of it. And Italy, I can't remember exactly where
it was. The one I always had to keep my daughter away from because they had all the tiaras in there, and I had to, like, push her.
Yeah, that's
away.
Probably Italy. And they had the specially named the crystal. Is the three different pronunciations of it for the languages. So that was kind of a cool thing. But yeah, you know, different things. And some of the things will go away. I mean, some of the clues had to do with Coco in Mexico. Eventually that display is going to go away from the entryway in there. In such, you know, areas like that. I did not know that the bridge had a name. I was asking that as a goof question. The bridge that goes between Africa and China.
What's the name?
A lot of great answers. It was something to do with the Epcot.
Does it have a name, number one?
I don't think it officially does. Okay. But the names I was getting back, everybody got the answer right. So if they answered it. So that was kind of a fun.
So were there any that were the same, or were people just making it up? Like, I don't know.
Mostly making it up.
Yeah.
I think most of them ask a cast member. Like, we've seen that before on Scavengers in past, where cast members will have a name for it, and sometimes there's carryover, and sometimes it's something unique.
Everybody has a different name.
Yeah, it could be just what the cast members call it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's not an official name, it's just.
And we found out it actually still opens too. So there was a time in the day that the bridge still opens up and
they got stuck. I'm not sure what they took out. What did they take explosives out? Why would they lift the bridge up? Because
they take the fireworks out.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. So and they took the fireworks out because it clearly didn't need to be raised for that boat to get by.
They can't have it above where the fire, like if something accidentally.
People walking above it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So now
I waited a couple minutes.
And you want to be on the Africa side when the bridge opens up so you can see down, I think it is. It opens that way.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're on the China side, all you see is the bridge.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, and thank you everybody for who attended Scavenger Hunt. It was really, really fun. We actually met up in a great place, which I wish we knew beforehand. It was the old pagoda where they met up with the bear. What was the bear? Yes, Duffy the bear.
Yeah, the Duffy right outside the Duffy. Well, it was the Duffy store. I don't know.
I saw
Daisy there before.
Everybody takes turns over there.
Yeah. But nobody was there, so we got to just use it as our meetup spot.
Yeah, it was a nice food
with
and wine.
The fans place. Up above felt so good. Oh,
yes. Nice little covered spot right by the coffee stand.
So the next thing we got to do is decide what park we're going to do next year, guys. I don't know if I want to do the other side of Epcot next, or we want to do something else. Hollywood Studios.
Well, it's been we have done all four parks, right?
We've done two Magic Kingdoms. We've done two Epcots. We've done Animal Kingdom. We've done Studios. Hollywood Studios.
Well, Studios was what part of Studios?
It was mostly Galaxy's Edge, wasn't it? No, it was a bunch of lands. It was everything.
Okay.
We've done Studios twice.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, oh, you're right. Right, right.
We might be like back to Animal Kingdom.
Like the second one we did was at Studios. There's a picture of us.
The first one we had to get Mickey was one of the big clues, the big courtyard. Yeah,
we could just do Find the Kite in the Tree. Kite Town.
Did you guys see for Boo Bash the young ladies who dressed up like the kites from Kite Tales?
I did not. That's gotta be hilarious.
They were running, crashing on the ground in the courtyard of Magic Kingdom.
Oh, funny. Did you see they have a annual pass entryway for the Epcot? No, I'm sorry, not Epcot. Animal Kingdom kite show that over there.
The kite tails. I did see that. It's right. Interesting. Yeah.
And if everybody hasn't heard, they've put a hold on annual passes again. Just
a temporary hold on not all of them, but the annual passes that would get you in the week of Christmas.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. That is kind of wild. So we'll see how that goes.
By the way, Tina corrected me. The Tierras are in Mexico.
They're in all three crystal shops.
Yeah,
because
the Erebus Brothers stands.
The Italy crystal shop is like a standalone booth on the water, and that's a lot of tiaras. The Germany one is behind the wine cellar. That also does have some tiaras, but it's mainly crystal, like figurines
glasses and
stuff.
A lot of glasses and beer mugs
and ceramic figurines.
Yeah.
And then Mexico is in the pavilion or in the temple. And that does have some tiaras, but again, that's mainly blown glass because the artists are there making them. So there are at all places.
Right. You mentioned Italy too. The thing that stood out, St. Mark. The winged lion. I had no idea whatever that meant in there. It was such an odd thing to have in Italy, but it's representing St. Mark, and that's St. Mark's Capitanella bell tower. So fun stuff. Again, learned so much. It was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed scoring them. I was able to, there was a couple that stumped me and I had to look at the key, but they were good.
So next year, tune in. And we'll see where we go next. So really, really good weekend. Very fun weekend. And then Sunday, I went to Hollywood Studios. Jimmy had to take off. Sam took off.
Yeah, I was.
Melissa, I think you were there that morning, although I didn't run into you.
Yep, we were there. We did not see you. We got on to Mickey and Minnie's and to Rise of the Resistance. We did pay. We used the individual Lightning Lane.
For Resistance?
For Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's.
Oh, nice. I'm writing a post about this, but the Sunday was probably one of my best Hollywood Studios days solo.
Nice.
I was able to get on Rise of Resistance before 8:30. So the park opened up at 9, but with a hotel stay, you get there at 8:30. But they let people in at like 7:45 were walking in and let us get on Ride for Rise and then got on the ride. And then Mickey and Minnie's was the next one, and that was still only like 10, 15 minutes.
That's awesome.
So rope dropping, I got those two. I got Tower Terror. I got Rock and Roller Coaster, which after Mickey's and Minnie's, they were still only 15 minutes because everybody's on Slinky Dog. Everybody's on Rise. And then coming back around 10 o'clock, I'd done the four major rides of the park. I don't consider Slinky a major ride. So it was really fun. And then the rest of the day, Magic, not Magic, but the Millennium Falcon single rider line. I can't recommend that enough. I rode it about a dozen times. Don't call me too nerdy, but it was definitely worthwhile taking advantage of that. I got to find so many different things about that ride, including a hidden Mickey on there that I had nobody told me about beforehand. So I love finding brand new hidden Mickeys.
You need to submit it to Steve Barrett's site.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should check to see if they have that one. That's not a bad thought.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And I rode with so many different crews. I was the pilot once. I was the gunner twice. And the rest of the time was the engineer, which I don't care. It's still fun to do. You have something to do as an engineer. If without you, they can't get the coaxium off the back of that train. So
yeah,
that's right.
With it. Yeah, that's tough, Bill. I'm sorry for you. And Rise Resistance breaking down the first day I was in Hollywood Studios killed our whole morning. You rope drop, you get on the Rise Resistance line, and then the ride closes. And
before you ride it. So now you lost all your advantage.
Right. And you blew it because now everything else is starting to load up.
Yep.
But no, Sunday worked out really well. Did a lot of Star Tours also. Took advantage of that. And then a bunch of other stuff at Hollywood Studios too, but mainly a lot of Star Wars. And played with my data pad. Excuse me, in Galaxy's Edge. Setting off hacking, scanning, doing all those different things to earn stuff. So, fun time.
Maybe we should do, you know what? I think we'll do March Madness rules for the scavenger hunt. Like, we'll put the vote to everybody that participates in the Disney Nerds podcast, and then we'll also put a poll out, like, for the group and let that count as one vote.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We could also consider a Disney Springs scavenger hunt.
Maybe.
I didn't think that would help out because a lot of people could go to that, maybe local who couldn't get into the parks. Some of our park cast member people with passes through the park, stuff like that, couldn't get in Saturday.
You could do
blackout kids.
You could do an Epcot Resorts one. You know, my first thought was a monorail, but you don't want to rely on Disney transportation to get between
resorts. Right. And I've done a monorail. That the scavenger hunt I did way back when, which started me on this whole trip, was great because it was a monorail hunt, and it was literally you get off the monorail, and just in that general area of the stations, you would look for clues at the, you know.
Yeah, but you could, you know, between the Yacht and Beach Club and the Boardwalk, they're all right there in walking distance. You could add in the Swan and Dolphin lobbies. I mean, it's possible. Because then you don't have to rely on Disney transportation. You could walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How about a Skyliner scavenger hunt, maybe?
Nice. There you go.
You're relying on transportation.
As long as it doesn't rain or get windy.
If it storms, right.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're really screwed.
I would love to do a scavenger hunt at the Riviera. I might even participate with that, right? That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this was our first stay. We stayed at Pop with all of you, and we were on the Skyliner. And something I wasn't expecting was I'd say probably half the time we were put with another family in our cabin. So we had one bench and they were across from us. There was maybe four or five of us in the cabin. And I really enjoyed being, you're kind of stuck with somebody, and we would sit and chit chat get to know them. And we had a lot of fun just getting to hear their stories or where they were from or what they were going to do that day. And I wasn't expecting that, but I would definitely stay at Pop again, or if I was so lucky, Riviera, because it was a very peaceful morning and evening coming home. There wasn't the crazy beeping and like waiting in line for buses. Even that line on Friday night after the sample-thon, which kind of wound around, right? Mm-hmm. We maybe waited 15 minutes in that line as it's
moving.
Yep. Always moving. It was great.
I definitely, my whole impression of the Skyliner definitely is up from the summertime. So definitely worth it. We had coming back actually. I think we came back with 8 people from that night. They shoved into our thing, and it was a riot. I mean, really, really good discussion, dissing this, loving that. Totally nerd conversation. Chris was having a great time. Guy as well. He was rolling.
Yeah, to Kim's point, it was the Skyliner. It was what we had little kids with us. Were the were the best. They hey, look at this one, and I get to do this today. Gordon Hutt. We had someone do that too.
Yep.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Well, it's been over an hour. We gave a bonus.
It has, and it goes quick.
We gave a bonus 15 minutes tonight. Great job. Y'all gave 100.
Scott was the bonus 15 minutes. 15%. House mouse stuff, man. Have fun with that, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it.
We're going to do some live streams. Hopefully, I know Craig Skaggs, who's a Disney artist, is going to be there with some art.
That's cool.
So I'll try and get a quick interview with him while we're there and do some other live streams, just walking around saying hello to everybody and some of the panels and stuff like that.
Do the old Lou thing. Do the old Lou walking around the Comic Cons or the D23s, just going to see the booths and seeing what we have available and stuff.
Yep, for sure. So we're looking forward to that. Me and Morgan getting set up, and me, Morgan, and Kim getting set up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Morgan's tonight. She's still getting everything packed and getting everything.
That's why she's not here. She's like, I got to
She's getting ready. Dedicated.
So. Somebody's got to work.
Yeah, somebody's got to work. That's right. She's even coming to get me at the me and Kim at the airport.
Nice. There you go.
So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Same nerd channel, same nerd time. Have a good one. Guaharini.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy, guys. Don't eat too much. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Kogaloosh.
Compulsory mortals pay a toll.